We are going to respond to Timothy Keller's responses to John Harris. Absolutely amazing that Timothy Keller is engaging with him on this. It means so much. We'll talk about the significance on Reformgelical when we record this tonight. If you're listening to this, it's already been released. But I want to talk about some specific points from a business economics perspective that Timothy Keller is saying here that really needs to be clarified and addressed. There is so much ambiguity going on. There's so much equivocation that's happening that when we are having these debates and discussions, we need to be very clear on definitions, very clear on what we're talking about so that we can be effective and so that we can call out when the other side is doing that, just like Timothy Keller is. So we're going to talk about that today. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show, tagging it. I'm telling you guys, every time I see someone share the show, I can't always comment and like all of them, but it really blesses me. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who has decided that a show or shows, plural, are worthy of you sharing them. It means the world to me. It really does. Go over to the Fight Laugh Feast Network, flfnetwork.com, put an HTBT in the memo field like so many of you already done. Thank you for doing this, supporting us. You are partnering with us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life and trying to bring clarity, reason, and most of all, the gospel and the application of the gospel as well. I think that's something that is missing in most Christian churches, most evangelical churches. It's not just Jesus loves me. It's Jesus loves me and therefore do this. Go out and make disciples of all nations, them teaching them in the commandments, teaching them in the way that I've taught you. That is how to live life and what that means in every different context. And so that's what we do with all these different shows. And I'm just really thankful for being part of this network. I'm looking forward to conference coming up October 1st to the 3rd. Make sure you are there in Nashville, Tennessee with us. Okay. So John Harris is engaged with all day yesterday Timothy Keller, which is remarkable. And again, we'll talk about the significance of that on Reformgelical, but they are going back and forth and they're talking about what Timothy's position is on what he's calling not being a Marxist or being a voluntaristic person. That is the responsibility that we have as Christians to the poor. And I think he's being slippery here and he's redefining terms and using terms incorrectly. And it's got to be purposeful, right? Because Timothy Keller is really smart. He is not dumb. He is not uneducated. He is the pinnacle of what we would think is the intellect of Christian circles. So I don't give him as much grace and leeway as I would with anyone else. And plus, his platform is so big that you have a responsibility to be accurate with what you are saying. You have a responsibility to tell the truth and to not believe things blurry, not to be unclear, but to be as clear and articulate as possible. Sometimes I can't be clear and articulate, but I try. I'm not trying to blur the lines and being ambiguous. And one of the tweets, and you can see it on my Twitter, How to Build a Tent, I retweeted it and I hit these notes that we're going to talk about today. So if you want to see the quote, I'll read it here. And I'm taking one of the quotes out of a long discussion. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But basically, that's what they're talking about, is what is our Christian's role in providing and helping the poor? And is that what he calls here a socialistic economy or a voluntaristic economy, or he actually says socialistic economics or voluntaristic economics. And so that is the debate that's what's happening. And this is what he says on his tweet. Both are reductionist. That is that you are going to be a socialist or a voluntaristic economy. And what he is before this, I should say too, for context, is he's quoting Calvin and Calvin's discussion about how Christians should treat the poor. And this is what he says, which is very interesting to me. Either a socialist or a voluntaristic economy is reductionist, and we couldn't be either of those. It seems you are saying that if I'm not a Marxist, I'm on the libertarian's voluntaristic side. As Treebeard says, I'm not on anyone's side in this debate as you set it up. So he doesn't want to be pinned as somebody who, as he calls it, a socialistic or voluntaristic economist or economy, or advocating for a socialistic or voluntaristic and economics. And I'm having trouble here saying it correctly because I've never heard this language before used. I don't know what he is. I've never heard the word socialistic economics or voluntaristic economics before. I know what a socialist economy is. I know what a capitalist economy is. But I don't know what a voluntaristic economics is or a socialistic economics is. And this is where he tips his hand, guys. This is where Timothy Keller admits that what he's actually talking about here is government intervention. Because remember, the definition of an economy is simply the grouping of wealth and goods, resources of an economy. So when you're saying the economy, you're talking about the capital, the wealth, all of the things that make an economy run that are quantified, that are resources, that are able to generate value and all these things. That's what we try to encapsulate with GDP. That's how we measure the growth of an economy, is how much goods, production, all of those things are involved in it. And so when he says a socialist economics, he's not talking about publicly owned goods in per se. He's talking about government intervention and how much socialistic government policies we should have versus voluntaristic, which he's really saying is private property or capitalist economics. So he's using words, and I'm not sure why, because he's a very articulate man. He's very thoughtful. He's very intellectual. He is not a dumb guy at all. But he's using terms that we don't talk about in economics. We don't use these kinds of words and phrasings. It's a socialist economy, or it's a communist economy, or it's a capitalist economy. And I guess I should just, you know, because a lot of people are unsure the difference between socialism and communism. Communism is everything is owned by the state. No one owns their own private property. Socialism owns or controls the production of goods, but you can still have property. For example, a doctor could work in a socialist system, but own their house still. So they have private property. They own their house. They own a car. In a communist economy, they wouldn't even own that. That is all belongs to the state. It belongs to everybody. But they do. The doctor that owns his car and owns his house, his private property, could go work for the state, who pays their bills and tells them what procedures to give, tells them who they can help, who they can't help. That would be a socialist economy. A free market economy is a place where the doctor owns his house, his car, and he works for a hospital that's owned by someone else or himself, and he's a private practice person, and the state has nothing involved in that. And I guess there is even a fourth option between socialism and the capitalist economy, and that's crony capitalism, where there is some kind of blend of state intervention into the free market. So back to this. He is saying that he is not advocating for either, which means that he's somewhere in the middle, and that means that he is somewhat advocating for socialist policies, which means that if he's advocating for some kind of socialistic economics, as he's saying, but what he's really saying is socialist economy, he's talking about stealing and taking resources from people that have earned it and give it to people that haven't earned it. And that's where he tilts his hand. This is where he reveals his position, that he is indeed advocating for things that the Bible never says should be the government's role. Now, we talk about gleaning laws, and we talk about those types of things, but the government isn't going in and taking the crops from the farmer and then distributing them to the poor. The farmer is allowing the poor man to work and take from and to harvest. There's some kind of work involved in that, and is allowing them to take from the edges of the property. The government isn't involved in that at all. So even the gleaning laws are not an example of any kind of socialist model economy of any kind. And so I really wanted to clear and make that distinction and show you that he's really tipping his hand here. And it's really strange to me why he is not using the vernacular of economics and the study of the economies. Oh, man, there's just so much here. I just don't know what to say. So it's really important for us to understand these differences And it's really important for us to call out these people when we see them do these kinds of things, because what we've seen from so many of the liberal Christians is this sleight of hand where they'll redefine things, where they will say one thing, but they're really meaning something else. Well, they'll use words that are meant to confuse you and to make you second guess yourself, doubt yourself, where you can't peg them down on a position. See, he never states exactly what his position is here, and at least I haven't seen it yet. And he says he's going to write a paper about it, and I'll look forward to reading that and seeing if he makes any clarifying points on it. But I have a feeling that he's not going to talk about specific socialistic economics that he believes in. I have a feeling that he's not going to talk about or advocate for any voluntaristic economics that he believes in. And the reason he is doing this is because he wants the freedom to vote for and to maintain voters of the Democrat Party without scaring them away and without losing his base, quote unquote. Just as a politician does, he's being a Christian politician here and trying to live in the ambiguity so he cannot be held accountable or nailed down or corrected for his unbiblical perspectives. Because let's face it, socialism is not a biblical principle. It is not something that Jesus ever advocated for. He never talked about bringing big government into your life to take from you and give to the poor. It has always been a direct relationship. There hasn't been this middleman in between. So I hope this brings some clarity. Make sure you check out Reformgelical, where we talk about the significance of the discussion back and forth between John Harris and Timothy Keller. Beyond what is actually being said, what this actually means, it's actually a really big deal. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.